Well, I hope that you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving. Yesterday I was with the Alive leadership. I said Happy Thanksgiving, and they just looked gave me a blank stare because I forgot Canada don't have Thanksgiving. Anyway, today the sermon is Out of the Valley, Out of the Valley, and it's from Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, okay? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And remember, the rod and the staff that, the shepherd has is to lead the shepherd, right? To lead the shepherd. So from this verse, what I got was what God wants to do with us is to lead us out of the valley. That's why I titled it Out of the Valley. And as I was thinking about and meditating and preparing this sermon, the thought that came to me was when I was in Kenya, when I was doing mission work in Kenya. And that's where God gave me the vision to come back to America and start a church plant. And that vision for church plant didn't happen at a conference. It didn't happen because I was reading an inspiring book or because of a powerful sermon or a powerful worship service. I got this vision from the Lord when I was burning out in Canada. I was pretty much burning out. It was when I was overworked. I was day when I was in Kenya, I preached four different message, on a Sunday. There was more. I'll preach morning prayer service, and then there will be the Sunday morning service, and then I would take the bus in Kenya. When I say bus, it's not like here. It's like a minivan with about 40 people squeezed into this minivan, And I'll take the bus to a second church, and there I will lead worship. I will preach and take the bus back, and then preach for Sunday night service at the main church. And during the week in Kenya, I would lead a street outreach. The missionary would make me go to the shopping places, school, or just out in the street in the corner, and he would have me preach the gospel while people were walking by. And then I had to do a leader's Bible study. I did the youth group in that church. I did a small group and home visitation. Every day I had to go visit two or three families. Oh, not every day, about three times a week. I have to go vi do visitation for church members. And during my time in Kenya, I saw a lot of great need. There was poverty, there was sickness, there was immorality, there was corruption in the nation. In the church, there was a lot of spiritual warfare. There was lack of discipleship, lack of training. And it was a difficult time when I was in Kenya. A time of emptiness, a time when I felt like, especially when I was burning out and I was tired and weary, I was in the valley. And when I was in that valley, God touched me, God spoke to me, God moved in me, God gave me a vision to start a church. And this passage in the valley, in difficult time, in time of fear, when empty, when you feel like you're burning out, God can bring you out of the valley. Okay? In Kenya, when I was in the valley, I was burning out, but God gave me a vision. I was empty, He filled me. I was tired, He strengthened me. And so I want to give you 3 points and biblically how to get out of the valley. Okay? How to get out of the valley, 3 points. And point number one, okay, point number one, I want you to say that with me after I tell you. Point number one is believe in what God says. say that with me, believe in what God says. There's a new life God has for you and me, meaning the new life, meaning living that new life means God wants to get you out of the valley. Okay, not be stuck in the valley, not be in the valley, but get you out of the valley, away from rejection to love and acceptance, away from brokenness to healing and wholeness, away from bondage to freedom and joy, away from emptiness to fullness, to a life of overflow, and Jesus promises abundant life. You know, you might be discouraged, tired, weary, maybe even burning out. You're feeling weak. In this broken world, there are people in our past and in the present that rejected you, hurt you, maybe belittled you, shamed you, abandoned you, abused you, or neglected you. And in this broken world, they're so tied to the same destructive, we have this so tied to the same destructive pattern. What do I mean so tied? It's like a spiritual rope that's tied to you that keeps you coming back to the addiction, to the offense, to the wrong thoughts. It's a soul tie that keeps you, in bondage to a codependent relationship, an unhealthy relationship, to a lie. Instead of freedom, instead of getting out of the valley, it has become that soul tie makes it normal to live with that dysfunction. You give in to that dysfunction. You stop questioning it. You blindly obey it. So first step, what you need to do, God is asking you to believe, okay? God is asking you to believe, have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is assurance about what we do not see, right? What we do not see. Don't look with human eyes. Don't look with eyes of doubt, eyes of depression, eyes of disappointment, eyes of failure, eyes of weakness, shame, or condemnation. But God is asking you, when he said believe, look with spiritual eyes, with eyes of faith. Okay? No matter how loud is the lies, how loud are the voices in the valley, believe. Right? Believe in God's love for you. Okay? Believe in God's love for you. It's not just information that you're supposed to have in your head. You're supposed to have faith in that. You need to believe that. Believe in God's mercy, God's power, God's creation, God's destiny for you. God wants you to get out of the valley. God will help you get out of the valley. You need to believe this. You will get out of the valley. Okay, speak that. Right? I will get out of the valley. Right? If there's a family member next to you, tell them, you will get out of the valley. Number two, repent in your thinking. Repent in your thinking. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same thing with point number two, repent in your thinking. Renewing your mind is the word for repentance. Repent literally means to change your mind, to change your mind. You know, we think repentance is just feeling bad. You know, we're just crying, shedding tears, beating yourself up because of your sin. We think repentance is following a list of do's and don'ts. No, repentance is to change your mind. Change your mind. Switch from the old way of thinking to a new mind. From shame, guilt, and condemnation, you have a mind of patience and kindness. Instead of the mind of addiction, you have a mind of freedom, joy, and hope. Instead of this mind that just thinks about the offense, you have a mind of forgiveness, grace, and love. There is a new mind. Before the old mind, you know, think about a temptation that you're facing in the valley right now. The old mind will say, it's okay, just this once. Who is it going to hurt? Nobody will find out. Or this old mind tells you, I can never change. I could never get out of this valley. No, the new mind, have a new mind. Say, think this thought. God knows. God is with me. This is not okay. Just say that with the temptation that you're facing. This is not okay. This hurts others. This hurts the people that's close to me. I can change. The new mind says, I can change in Christ. I can change in Christ. The old is gone. The new is here. This is what the Bible promises us to those who are in Christ Jesus. Another way the Bible describes renewing your mind, repenting in your thought, it describes it as putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Okay? Putting off the old self and putting on the new self. The old self is the flesh and the sinful nature, the desire in us to go our own way. It is our selfish side. It's our broken nature. So you got to put off the old self. What it means is you stop agreeing with brokenness. You stop agreeing with rejection. You stop agreeing with selfishness, with rebellion and lies. Putting off the old self means let go of the fears that keep you from changing. You know, over time, we start to base our identity around our defects, our brokenness. We say, you know, about our brokenness, about the temptation, about the sin, about our weakness. It's just the way I am. It's just like me to be always upset, always angry. That's who I am. It's me to be always depressed, always be hopeless. And it goes on and on and on. It's just the way I am. And we identify with the old. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that's not who you are. That's not your calling. We believe that the old says we believe we can't change, that God cannot change us. Okay, faith has two parts. First is the point number one, believe in what God says. And point number two is what I'm talking about. Walk out the promise of God. Walk out the truth of God. Repent in your thinking. You have a renewed mind. That's the repentance. In a broken world, we naturally go toward anger, you know, bitterness, worry, fear, guilt, shame. We naturally go toward depression. Our brokenness makes us naturally walk in the valley and stay in the valley. God offers you another direction. If you're not afraid to deal with the deep-rooted pain, your brokenness, and in that place, put your hope in the Lord, God will bring healing and freedom. He will replace the deep-rooted pain with love, joy, and peace. He will replace your pain with new life. We can get out of the valley. We can get out of the valley. Point number three. Okay. Point number three, you know, one was believe, two, repent in your thinking. Number three, be patient in God's work in you. Right? Be patient in God's work in you. You know, I wish the moment that you and I became Christians that instantly there was instant change, permanent change, and powerful change, you know. The moment we became Christian, I never get depressed anymore. I never get sad, but instead I'm always joyful. You know, I never complain, but always be thankful. You know, I'm always, you know, once I became a Christian, now I'm always loving, compassionate, and generous. I never struggle with sin. I never struggle with temptation or the flesh. That's not true, right? That doesn't happen. It's because that's not how God works in us. God can, because he's all powerful, instantly change us, but he has chosen to develop us slowly. Okay? He has chosen to develop us slowly. You look at how Jesus worked with his disciples. Jesus was patiently working with their heart issue, their wrong motivation. They will go by their selfish ambition, their lack of faith. He had to work with them again and again with their lack of faith, their lack of impatience, their lack of wisdom. You know, God takes time to change us. He takes time to change us. It took 40 years before the Israelites stepped into the promised land. 40 years. And once in the promised land, God allowed the Israelite to take over the promised land. The Bible says, little by little. It wasn't instant. It wasn't that one day, but little by little. Why? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22, the reason is if I do this too quickly and try to take over the whole land too quickly, you will be overwhelmed by wild animals. You will be overwhelmed by wild animal if it happens too fast. God, he is preparing us, okay, to overcome, to get out of the valley, not to be overwhelmed, not to be overwhelmed, right? You know, God could have put Moses in the position to deliver Israel right away, but God needed to prepare Moses. He didn't want him to be overcome. God could have promoted Moses, Joseph right away, but then Joseph would not have overcome, but he would have been overwhelmed. Right now, God is preparing you to overcome, but he can't do it too quickly, or you will be overwhelmed. We could understand this as parents. Okay, think about your children. Don't you wish you can just tell your children once and then they do it, they get it, they instantly change. You just tell them once, you know, make your bed. You know, how many times do you have to tell your kids, make your bed, you know? But don't you wish you just could tell them one time and for the rest of their life, they make their bed every morning, you know? Clean your room, you know, no phone during dinner, you know? Okay. No phone during dinner. Do your homework. Okay. Today's your bath day. You got to constantly remind them. Stop complaining. You got to constantly remind them. What I realized being parent, being a dad, real love is shown in the patience. Real love. You're showing real love to your kids. You know why? You don't leave them or abandon them, even though, you know, they're making the same mistake over and over and over again. Real love is you don't stop praying for your children, even though, you know, they keep making the same mistake over and over again. Real love is walking with them through the ups and downs. Your love is shown when you don't give up on them. God loves you. Okay? God loves you. One way he shows that he loves you is his patience over you. God is patient with you. When God wants to make a giant oak tree, it takes hundreds of years. When he wants to make a mushroom, he does it overnight. Okay? God doesn't want to make a mushroom. The Bible says he wants to make a great supernatural oak tree. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, okay? It's talking about those who mourn in Zion, meaning those who are in the valley. Okay, this is what he wants to do in you, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called, hear this, they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Right? Whatever they do. God's making an oak tree here. And it takes time. And God loves you. That's why he's patient with you. Let's go into ministry right now. Right. Let's respond to the sermon. Oh, you know, I'm turning 56 tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm turning 56. And there are times I get impatient, you know. I'm not fully redeemed, you know, I do get impatient. And I say, God, you don't have much time left. You know, I'm 56. I'll say, I'm turning 56. You know, you don't have much time left. How long am I going to struggle with this? You know, I get impatient. When am I going to change? How can I serve you with this sin? When am I going to be finally healed and free from this brokenness? You know, in the past, what used to comfort me, I would hear from the Lord, be patient, Sam, you know. And when I hear this from the Lord, I say, okay, I will be patient. I will be patient. But in my older age, as I'm getting older, now I'm hearing something different. You know, when I become impatient, you know, I'll go, God, when? How long? When am I going to overcome this? Why do I still struggle with this? God, this is just too painful. And I don't hear, be patient. But instead, I hear from the Lord, I love you. That's what I hear. And, you know, as parents, you know, when you say to your child, I love you, this is what you're saying. I will not forsake you nor leave you. I am interceding for you always. I am walking with you. You know, when you say to your child, I love you, you know what you're telling them? I will not give up on you. And this is what the Lord is saying to us, saying to you. He's saying to you, I will not give up on you. As I was praying for you, the conviction for the congregation, for you, let go of the old. Okay? Let go of the old. Let's stop running towards sin. Let's stop, you know, going in the valley of pain, the valley of rejection, the valley of bondage and addiction. Let's stop going to the valley of fear and anger, bitterness, shame. Let's stop running toward brokenness. And what I believe God is saying to you, not asking you to be perfect. He's not saying you need to change right now. And you need to work harder, you know, try harder. what the Lord is asking, I believe, to this congregation is just take one step toward the new. That's all. Just go one step toward the new. Take one day at a time. See, remember, God doesn't want you to be overwhelmed. That's God's heart. I think it's just, it's maybe parents, you know, makes you overwhelmed. Maybe your dad, your mom, a family member makes you overwhelmed. Right? Remember what God said to his people when they were in the promised land. Okay. I don't want you to be overwhelmed by a wild animal. That's why it's going to be little by little. Little by little. We're going to take over this land. And so what I'm challenging you, your spiritual life, you know, don't compare yourself to some super Christian, you know, who don't seem to ever struggle, who always seems joyful, never struggle with temptation. Anyway, there's nobody, no such people out there, but we believe, you know, we compare ourselves thinking that that's them. Don't do that. Just one step. Can you give God tomorrow just 10-15 minutes tomorrow? Just give the Lord 10-15 minutes tomorrow. Can you do that? Your marriage, you know, can you, in the marriage, we might try to overwhelm me. We're overwhelming each other. That's not God, okay? That's not the Lord. I believe what he's asking you, look for one positive thing about your spouse, one positive thing. Right? And when you find that one positive thing about your spouse, can you be thankful about it? Can you appreciate it? Can you praise the Lord for it? Can you pray about it? Can you express that one thing to your spouse? With your temptations. And, during this pandemic, temptations are great. Instead of fighting it yourself, can you just confess it to one trusted friend? That's all. Confess it to one trusted friend. Have one accountability partner. Okay. Take one step toward you. So Holy Spirit, speak to your people right now. Direct us and guide us. There's fear in the valley. Can you just take one step out of that valley of fear? What is it? It's that one step. I don't know why, but I think many of us have this there. The word I got was codependent relationships. Codependent relationships. Change one thought from old thought to new thought. Holy Spirit show us what is that new thought that we could hold on to in that relationship. A new way. Again, the Lord does not want to overwhelm you. It's not through guilt or that he wants to motivate you, but it's with hope. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. The source of depression. What is that one step out of that depression that you could take? As the Holy Spirit shows you, say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that one step. One step out of that negative thought. Repent in your thinking. When the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's saying that's the first step. You got to change your thought. Instead of changing our thought, you know, with self-effort, we try harder. And each one of you know that never worked. That doesn't work. If you want to get out of the valley, change your thought to a new thought about God, about your family, about yourself, about the future. If you could just pray for each other right now, you know, just lift up a prayer. The people, they'll go to gallery view if you can, and just pray for the person on your right, left, if somebody's on top of you or below, if you could just lift them up to the Lord. Holy Spirit's gonna give you revelation about the people around you. And it's not to point, you know, shame them in any way, but it is to intercede for them, pray for them. Pray for the people around you with compassion, with love. Can't love each other, we won't be able to love people outside, you know, in the community and in other nations. You know, their names are on the screen, you know, say their name and intercede for them. as you pray, the Lord's going to give you love. And the Holy Spirit might reveal some of their struggles, things that they're going through. The Holy Spirit reveals that, again, not to be judgmental, not to compare yourself to them, not to think that you're better than them, you know, but the Holy Spirit reveals that so that you could have compassion and love for one another. Let's love each other in our struggles. Let's love each other as we're in the valley. That's a way to come out of the valley. Speak over, you know, okay, let's speak this out. There's going to be a change. It will be different. My mind is renewed. I'm coming out of the valley. The old is gone, the new is here. So may the love of the Heavenly Father and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit break the chain that holds us in the valley. And may your love, grace, and power take us out of the valley into new life, to abundant life, to a life of destiny and purpose. And God's people said, amen.